What is that? Tommy Little!
A title appears, Tommy Little, I'll See Myself Out. Lights and sparklers strobe around a theater stage and an audience cheers as a man in his 30s with brown hair shaved on the sides walks out in jeans, a black t-shirt and white sneakers. He grabs a microphone off a stand.
Oh, shit, yeah, Melbourne, we are back! It is so lovely to see you all here. It's so lovely to be doing live comedy again. I've been touring the country again and I've got to stay in places I've never stayed in before. I stayed in the richest suburb in the country. It's called Tennyson. It's in South Australia. And here is how rich Tennyson is, right? I got woken up to the sounds of a rowing carnival. I did not even know that shit happened in Australia. I just woke up to hear this. Stroke, 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 stroke. Never have I been more encouraged for my morning wank. After I was done, I went to the window, I pulled the blinds back. I'm like, who's done this encouragement? Schoolboys, that's weird.
He mimes leaving a window and an audience member cracks up.
I don't have COVID. Sorry, I should have said that. I feel so rude. I should have just told you that right at the start. Hands up, who's been tested? Who's been tested? Yeah. Okay. So how'd you go? How'd you go with the test? Did negative? No, sorry.
A man in glasses laughs.
You were so quick to answer as well. You're like negative. Imagine if that's how we found you out. How'd you go with the test? Positive. I shouldn't be here. There's a lot of people here. Oh, man, did they go nose, nose, throat? Yeah, no, double banger. Bam, bang, 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 yeah. Yeah. You had a weird look for a second. You're like, they stuck it up my ass. Where did I go? Twice. When they went throat, did you... Sorry, some people were like, oh, that's bad date memories coming back. That's shocking.
He gags.
You're like, if you do that one more time, mate, I will fucking puke. The first time I got tested, they put it down and it was so bad. Like, I immediately, both my eyes just started watering and I knew that I'd done an embarrassing job because the nurse, and they're usually so, she just went like this, she went, oh, darling. And because I travel for work, I have to get tested a lot. I didn't want to be embarrassed like that again. So I went away and I started practicing. And now I take a COVID test like a champion. I had one the other day, male nurse, and he sat me down and he said, sir, you know, you can shut your eyes. And I said, I know.
He keeps his eyes open and sticks out his tongue.
And he stuck the stick down my throat and this is what I said. I just went, holla. One stage, you said, sir, you don't need to grab the underside of the stick with your other hand. Said afterwards, I was the only bloke ever to grab his hand, put it on the back of my head. Apparently, I'm the first bloke ever to swallow a COVID test. Sorry, Doc, if you want those results, I'm going to have to come back tomorrow. Next time I get one, I'm going to ask if I can spit on the stick first, make it go down a bit.
Tommy cracks up and doubles over, resting his hands on his knees. He stands upright again and rubs his chin.
This is what I'm presenting to the world. I have conversations with my mum that go like this. She goes, oh, darling, did you do the head job COVID test bit? Yeah, mum, I did. How'd it go? Yeah, pretty good. Not bad. The audience were a bit frigid, but that's all right. So I didn't grab your name. Sorry, what was your name? Josh, good on you, Josh. Josh, what do you do with yourself, Josh? You work for an energy company. Which energy company do you work? Red Energy. Okay. Oh. One person went, woo! That's a very supportive audience. Red Energy, do you do the comparison thing? Are you the people that call me all the time and go, I should come over to Red Energy? No, that's not you. Should we not be working towards green energy? Red energy are green energy. That's fucking confusing. Was green energy the name taken by another company? No. That should have been thought. Like, we've had a 20-second meeting and we worked that out. We're red energy. It's just fossil fuels. That's our point of difference.
Good on you.
Thank you for coming. It's lovely to see you here. G'day, sir. How are you? That's good. What's your name? Good on you, Jules. Your energy is fantastic, Jules. It is. It's great. It's so nice to see. Hey, did someone go red energy? And you were so proud. You put your hand up. Right, that's fucking my joke. Better put me in the credits for this, motherfucker. What's your name?
Vicky.
Good on you, Vicky. Vicky, you're an excitement machine. There's nothing I'd love to see more than a cougar in some leopard print, Vicky. Fantastic. What do you do with yourself, Vic?
Carpet layer.
Carpet layer.
She gestures to a man two seats down and he doubles over.
Everyone's not sure. Everyone's like, I think it's a lesbian thing. I don't know. Vicky, I was not expecting you to be a carpet layer. Fuck, you're the best. Did you say this is your partner here sitting two away from you? Yeah. Brother-in-law, sister, husband. And I feel like you said them in order of your favourites. Husband. Good on you, Vic. Hubby, what's your name? Oh, shit. What was it that attracted you to Vicky first? He regrets it. Fuck, you're the best, Vic. You're just a bit busy. Fuck, he regrets it. But what else has he got? Good on you, Vic. Sir, sorry, what's your name? What's your name? Johnny. Good on you, Johnny. Vicky, what was it attracted you to Johnny?
His smile.
His smile. I have not seen it once. I've seen his head in his hands. And Johnny, what are you in the carpet laying business? Is it a family business?
He shakes his head.
Just husband and wife. That's a family business. I think. Ronnie, I think that's the definition of a family business. Nah, it's not a family business. It's just me, the missus, two of our kids, dad. Good on you. Do you want to give it a plug? What's it called? What's it?
Just Get Laid.
Just Get Laid. Fuck off. How often do you get the wrong call? Just desperate men, and then you give them a price per meter, and they're like, I haven't got that. What about a price per centimeter? That's what more my ballpark.
Vicky, do you have kids? Do you have kids?
One. How old's your kid?
Eight.
Good on you. Where's the kid tonight? Just mum and dad. Okay. How long until he starts getting laid? No. I mean, in the business. How long until he's in the carpet business? Long time. It took me a while. That's so nice to see all your faces. I hope you didn't have a pandemic that was as expensive as mine. I gambled a lot during the pandemic. 7 months of lockdown and I gambled a lot. I knew I got to the point where I was gambling too much when I started gambling on Uber Eats. Me and my housemate, we invented a game. It's called Dinner Is On You, Bruh. And here's how it works. You both order Uber Eats from the same restaurant at the same time. And then you watch your drivers race each other. Oh, this is good. I can tell you're an adventurous crowd because some of you kind of giggled politely, but the majority of you are like, fuck, that's pretty good, actually. Gotta give that shit a go. Played in the middle of last year, right? Me and my mate, we had our phone open so we knew nobody was cheating. 3-2-1, order. That's what we do. 3-2-1, order. And then the pacing begins. Because as you know, there's a few steps in the Uber Eats ordering process. The first one is meal, getting prepared at restaurant. And we're in lockdown. We've got fuck else all on, right? So we're pacing, just staring at our phones, just staring. After 10 minutes, he said the words I did not want to hear. He went like this, yes, I'm out. Meaning his meal had been prepared and picked up from the restaurant. He was already beating me. I was shattered. Until 2 seconds later, he said the words which warmed my heart. He goes, oh, shit, push bike. As you know, the slowest of the Uber Eats delivery methods, crawling through the back streets towards our house, this fuckhead. 2 minutes later, I went, yes, I'm out. Oh, yeah, car. Banging down the main street towards our house. This car was flying along. Now, if you win, you get to shout to your mate, dinner's on you, bruh, and they have to shout both meals. I was excited. I was up and about. I'm like, dinner is going to be on you, bruh. Dinner is going to be on... Why is it frozen? It just stopped. My little car in the middle of the main street just stopped. 2 blocks from my house. At one stage, it even did this bullshit move.
Staying put, Tommy turns to face the opposite direction. He turns back and faces the original direction. He does a 360-degree spin.
Mike, what's he doing? Just circle work in the main street? Meanwhile, you know he's getting closer and closer. This fuckhead.
He mimes bobbing on a low bike.
I panicked. I decided to call my driver, right? I got way too aggressive way too quickly. He picked up the phone and he goes, hello? And I said, what are you doing? And he was so taken back. He goes, Uber Eats? I said, oh, yeah, then why you stopped? He said, sir, I'm at a red light. But I knew that wasn't true. I know my neighbourhood. I know there is no red light there. And I was trying to let him know of the high-stakes game that he was playing, but see if you can pick the moment that I got my words slightly wrong. This is what I said to him. I said, look, buddy, this isn't about you. It's a race thing.
Tommy freezes as he mimes holding a phone to his ear.
Yeah, I don't know if you ever said that shit to a man named Pravinda before, but it did not go down well.
Tommy swigs from a beer bottle.
He hung up on me, cancelled my order. I got kicked off Uber Eats. Fun little fact for you, ladies and gentlemen, if you get kicked off Uber Eats, you also get kicked off Uber. Oh, no, but Tommy, how did you get around? Great question. Thank you, audience. Thank you for getting involved. I download an app called Ola. Good to see a few poor people in tonight. Good. For those who don't know, Ola is exactly like Uber, except the cars don't arrive. They don't. They just accept your job and fuck off the other way in a fun little game of who's going to cancel first. Right, I had three times. One, I was trying to book a car, and three times in a row, the car just went the other way, right? And you get to see the numbers in minutes go up instead of down. So it goes 5 minutes away, 6 minutes away, 7 minutes away. By the third one, I said to my housemate, I'm like, jump in the car, let's chase him. We chased our old driver. I got to within 2 minutes before he went, oh, and panicked and cancelled and disappeared. I'm like, shit. So Tommy, that's how you get around. But how do you order your food? Thank you, audience. Great question. Thank you once again for getting involved. I downloaded an app called Easy. For those who don't know, Easy is an Asian food delivery service. And when I downloaded it, I was the first white person in Australia to download Easy. And I knew this because the menus weren't in English, which means for me, ordering off Easy was not fucking easy. First time I did it, I just picked something that was $20. I just guessed, right? And I was like that, right? And then I was trying to work the app out and my bar was going like this and I'm like, oh, that must be the meal getting prepared at restaurant. And then that turned into a push bike. I'm like, oh, sweet, that must mean there's a push bike on the way to my house. But 15 minutes later, this restaurant was only 2 kilometres away. 15 minutes later, it's only just coming around the corner of my street. I'm like, what is going on? I walk out to look what's coming around the corner. It wasn't a push bike, ladies and gentlemen. No. Instead, it was a man dressed head to toe in yellow, the Easy uniform, and he was walking my food to my house. And he got to me, he was so cute. He goes, there's your food. I said, you're walking? He goes, yeah. I said, don't you have a car? He goes, nah. I said, I would have got the food if I'd known that. He said, oh, why didn't you? Don't you have a car? I said, no, I've got a car. And then he turned, he went to walk away and said, hang on, where are you going? And he said, I've got to go back to the same restaurant, pick up another order. I felt so bad that I was like, get in the car, I'll give you a lift. I gave him a lift back to the restaurant. I could have picked the food up from in the first place. even he thought it was a little bit too much. One stage, he looked over at me from the passenger seat and was like, are you going to try and fuck me? And for a split second, I was like, it'd be less embarrassing if I just tried to fuck you, yes. I dropped him off at the restaurant. I had an amazing thought, right? Amazing idea. I said to myself, I was like, oh, tomorrow night we can play Dinner Is On You, Bruh, but on easy, and we can watch the greatest foot race of all time. They won't even know they're racing till they get to the corner of my street and then they see my housemate and me out on the street, like, come on, come on. And they'll be like, oh, shit, we're racing, right? It'll be incredible. So I told my housemate and he was down. The next night, he downloaded the app, 3, 2, 1, order. And then the pacing began. After 10 minutes, he went, yes, I'm out, push bike. But I knew it wasn't a push bike. A minute later, I said, yes, I'm out too, push bike. But I knew it wasn't a push bike. And then we watched our two phones as my push bike just slightly trailed his push bike the whole time, right? They got to the end of our street corner and we ran out the front with anticipation. We got down on the edge of our street and we were ready to cheer this incredible foot race home. We looked at the corner and what came around the corner was not two push bikes, ladies and gentlemen. No, we knew that. But it wasn't even two men. It was just the same guy from the night before, this time two meals.
He mimes walking with a bag in each hand.
And he was so confused. He goes, why'd you do two separate orders? I said, shut the fuck up. Get in the car. Let's go. I'm so sorry. It's very much one-way traffic. Often the comedian will ask the audience questions, but the audience don't get to ask questions back. It's only fair. Do you have any questions?
How old were you when you laid your first carpet?
How old?
An audience member cracks up.
How old was I when I laid my first carpet? How old did I say I was? Or no, I was in year 9. I can't believe I'm just giving you an honest answer. And it was a quick job. She said, well, that's one room. What about the rest of the house? I said, I've got to get back to my parents, who own the business, obviously. Great question.
Are you pregnant?
Am I pregnant? Not yet. No, I'm not pregnant. How long have you been thinking about that question? Do I look fat? God, you know how to make a girl self-conscious. Why did you ask, am I pregnant?
Don't know.
Oh, you just thought, fuck, this is my time to shine. I'm on TV. I'll go with a funny question. Yeah, good on you. Yeah. Yeah, you're a fucking hero. Look, you've led to the front. None of these people are going to ask questions. And you're like, fuck, I've got one. Good on you. Thank you. What's your name?
Jordan.
Good on you, Jordan. Are you pregnant, Jordan?
Tommy swigs his beer.
Why do you say, oh, when I ask the fucking question back? Oh, fuck, mate, you can't ask that. Good on you, Jordan. Who are you here with, Jordan?
My dad.
Your dad, okay.
The young woman cringes as she and her dad both crack up.
Nathan, I'm so scared to ask my next question. Jordan, how old are you?
Old enough.
Tommy braces his hands on his knees as he laughs.
What a terrifying answer for a dad. And Dad, you're the man. What's your name, Dad?
Brett.
Brett, good on Brett. Brett, you're such a gorgeous man because when Jordan said old enough, you fucking clapped. You're like, yes! Any other questions? Anything.
Are you single?
Am I single? Yes, I am single. A lot of people think... But I'm also pregnant. A lot of people took up hobbies during lockdown. They learnt new things, like how to bake sourdough, stuff like that. I took up magic tricks. Yeah, hear that? That's the sound of all the vaginas drying up in the place. I'm a 35-year-old man that learned to do magic, which ironically made my girlfriend disappear. So, yes, I'm single. Great question. Thank you for getting involved. Any other questions? Anything? You hear I'm on Tinder. That means you've seen me on Tinder. You thirsty thing. Just wondering what my age range is. What's your name? Emma. Why don't we just cut the shit, Emma? How old are you? Hey, 46? Oh, perfect. My age range is 46 to dead. So you've just snuck in there. Jordan's like, fuck, grandma's in. Good.
Got on, Em. Thank you.
She's dead. Sorry, Jordan.
Tommy walks off, rubbing the back of his head.
What you guys are missing is the beautiful bit, because I also get Brett's reaction, which is Jordan's dad. So Jordan went, she's dead. And Brett, instead of clapping, went, that's enough. That. I'm surprised. A lot of people often ask me about my last name. Little is my real last name. A lot of people think it's Lewis, because that's what it says on Wikipedia. I love that. Feel free to spread that as a rumor. It's fantastic. Also, feel free to fuck with my Wikipedia as much as you want. It makes life more entertaining for me. Because often when people interview me, they'll only look at Wikipedia. I had a breakfast radio interview the other day, and this is literally, it was earnest, and this was the question I got asked. The host said, hey, Tommy, found out the most interesting thing about you, mate. Before you were a comedian, you were a dolphin trainer. And I just rolled with it. I went, yeah, look, I was, but there was an incident with a blowhole. I don't want to talk about it. I work in TV. Working in TV is great, but you've always got to be careful about offending people. I think sometimes too much, right? TV networks will often get me, like I play stupid clips. That's what I do. It's not highbrow stuff, right? But I'll go to play a clip of a guy falling on like a slip and slide and they'll say to me, hey, Tommy, make sure you let the people at home know that the guy that fell on that slip and slide, right, he's okay. And I'm like, that's not funny. Why? And they're like, because the people at home will be worried about that man. And I say to them, the people at home do not give a fuck about that man. We grew up watching Australia's Funniest Home Videos. Not once when we saw someone hitch themselves on a rope swing and we were slapping our brother on the thigh, did we go, ha, ha, ha. Do you reckon he'll be able to have kids though? Seriously. So next time you see me on TV, you might notice that I don't do this and it might give you a giggle, right? Like the other day, I played a clip of a truck taking a corner too slowly over in the States. Big semi-trailer, big banked up corner. It kind of teetered on the edge, slipped and then slid down the mountain. As that's playing out live on air, the director said into my ear, goes, hey, Tommy, make sure you let the people at home know the driver of this truck is okay. And I mouthed to my camera and I went, no. And he goes, what? Mate, it looks pretty bad. Make sure you let the people at home know the driver of this truck is okay. And I went, mm-mm. It came back to me live on air and this is what I said. I went, that's funny. But I can tell he must have got into my co-host's ear because my co-host turned to me and goes, hey, Tommy, I'm assuming the driver of that truck is okay. I went, I don't know, bro. It looked pretty bad. He could be dead.
Tommy switches spots, pretending to be his co-host.
He kept going. He goes, I've been told the driver of that truck is not dead. I went, not in our hearts. I'm constantly getting told whatever show I'm on that I bring the tone of the show down. Right, which is great because it means sometimes you just don't have to talk, right? We did a story at the end of last year. The story was the funniest wildlife photos of the year. We got to see the photos in rehearsal. The first one was this otter in the water on its back waving. It was adorable. Oh, the second one was this baby lion cub cawing at another lion's nut. And the third one was two monkeys. And there was one monkey like this, right? And the other monkey was having sex with the first monkey. This monkey had seen the camera, so he was like, oh.
Standing, he squints and frowns.
And the first monkey was like, Terry, why have you stopped?
Tommy bends over.
He's just like, there's a camera. He's like, that's all right, mate. It's not going to end up anywhere. Come on. There you go. And so I saw that and I wrote a joke. I still stand by this joke and I think it's a good one. I saw the, and it was going to come back to us for comment. This is the joke I wrote. I was going to say, that's so funny. Because that's exactly the same face I make when someone walks in on me having sex with a monkey. I
I stand by it. I think it's a great joke. We're going out live to air. And the host of the show is going, next up, we have the funniest wildlife photos of the year. First up, we have this adorable otter. They take the photo full screen. That's when the director says, into my ear only, hey, Tommy, just checking here, mate. You're not going to make a fucking a monkey joke, are you? I look at my camera and I go...
He nods vigorously.
He goes, what? Mate, you can't make a fucking a monkey joke on national TV. Right? And then what ensues is a furious mime argument. Because remember, I can't talk because my co-host is just 2 metres away and she's going, and next up we have this cute little lion cub. And so I'm trying to be silent, but what I'm trying to communicate to the director is, why would you show a picture of two monkeys and then come back to ask for a comment if we can't make a comment about the two monkeys? We can't just be righteous all the time. We've sometimes got to talk related. Like, we can't just come back to ask for a comment. We just wait 1 second and we just go, oh, free the refugees. Like, we can't just make an unrelated comment like that. We've got to comment about a thing that we have just... And he just goes, Tommy, you're not allowed to talk here, mate. You are not allowed to talk. And I went, And then the host went. And finally, we have two monkeys caught in a compromising position. Comes back to us live on the desk. Unfortunately for me, no one else had heard the discussion between me and the director. And so the other three hosts on the desk all think, well, if anyone's going to make a comment about two monkeys having sex with each other, it's going to be this dead shit down the end. And they all turn to me on live TV and stare at me. I stare at them, I stare at my camera. I stare at them, I stare at my camera. And then I summon all my improvisational skills, all my years of drama training, and this is what I come up with. I've been told I'm not allowed to talk.
He stares deadpan into the invisible camera, wearing a sheepish expression.
Which shits me in hindsight, because I know if I was watching TV and there was a picture of two monkeys having sex with each other and then it came back to one of the hosts on the desk and he looked at the camera and said, I've been told I'm not allowed to talk, I'd think in my heart of hearts, well, he had sex with a monkey.
Tommy sips his beer and audience members applaud.
I often get asked to speak at events that I'm not qualified to speak at. And before the pandemic, I said no. Now, I'm just like, oh, well, we may as well. We're here to live this life. Let's experience everything and then maybe regret some of those decisions. I got asked to speak at a serious panel discussion. The topic was creativity in the corporate world. Here is how underqualified I was to speak. The first panelist, she was on the Forbes 30 under 30 list for global game changers and innovators in her field. Bang. Second panelist, she started her own advertising agency when she was very young, built it up, sold it for tens of millions of dollars, now works as a freelancer and consultant. Bang. And then, this dead shit. I was really nervous. I'd never done a serious panel discussion and the host tried to put everyone at ease to start. He goes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome here today. We're going to have a fantastic day. Introduce the panelists. Everybody clapped. And he goes, I'm just going to throw out a few questions, just a bit of an icebreaker to start off. Tommy, first one to you. If you could change one thing in this world, what would it be? And I couldn't believe it. I got so lucky because this is a question that I have ruminated on for years, right? And I stood out of my seat and I said, that's a great question, thank you. If I could change one thing in this world, it would be 10% less toppings on tacos. Thank you.
He mimes sitting and folding his arms.
The audience was stunned. The host went like this, he goes, what? And then I stood back up and went, I'm so sorry, I'll elaborate. I think everywhere you go, tacos have too much toppings in them and often you eat them at the start of your night and so you'll spill stuff on your clothes. It can really screw your whole night. And so I understand why one person doesn't want to be the first to be like, the tight-ass Mexican that doesn't give enough time. So I think if you just agree that uniform around the world, 10% less toppings on tacos, the world would be a better place. And that's the one thing I'd change. Thank you.
He pretends to sit again, giving an earnest smile.
There was no applause in this crowd. And the host went like this. He goes, okay. The next panelist, could I ask you the same question? She stayed seated. And I was like, oh, shit. You're not meant to stand up, let alone twice. She stayed seated and she said, it's a great question. If I could change one thing in this world, it would be to achieve world peace. And I looked at her and I said, fuck off. But I didn't say fuck off. I thought it. You know? I'm not good with confrontation. And more and more, I'm thinking things without saying it. Particularly when you talk about like things like the vaccine, you know? Your mates all have opinions. You think a lot of things you don't say. So controversial. You know? I need to let you know it's okay. Right? My mate is a nurse. She's already had the vaccine. So obviously, I call her daily to monitor how her autism is developing. I've got friends that ask me if I'm going to take the vaccine. Like, that's an honest question for me. Tommy, are you going to take the vaccine? For me, I snort lines off toilet seats. Do you think I give a fuck what goes into my body?
Vicky and her group applaud with wide smiles.
If it is for the greater good, I'll double drop that fucking vaccine. Whatever we need to do. I got one mate and she said to me, she said, Tommy, you need to be more careful about what you put in your body. And I said, you've had Gary in your body and he failed TAFE. Another mate said, but you don't know what's in it, Tommy. You don't know what's in it. I don't know what's in Vegemite. I don't. I just know I put it on my toast and use it for my yeast infections. Mind you, if we do get it wrong, it's a very big punt. Imagine having to have that conversation. But someone goes, hey, we've had a problem with the first round of vaccines. It's really messing people up. Who have you given the first round of vaccines to? Just all the healthcare workers. Sorry, all the healthcare workers. The very people we need to treat these people with. Why would you give it to all of the healthcare workers? They told us to. Is there any silver lining to this? Is there any good news? We also gave it to the politicians, so they're fucked too.
A woman near George doubles over laughing.
George, are you an adventurous man? Oh, yeah, good on you. What's the wildest thing you've done, George?
I moved to Australia and I've never been
there. So you're from England originally. Good on you. Welcome. It's lovely to have you. When did you do that?
About 5 years ago.
About 5 years ago. Fuck yeah. Good time to be here. You moved to Melbourne in March 2020.
Tommy winces and laughs as he backs away.
Fuck, you would have been the only one that would be like, take me back to England. Fuck this. did a show interstate and there was a gorgeous couple sitting the row behind where you guys were sitting. And I asked the young lady, I said, what's the wildest thing you've done in the bedroom? And it was so cute. There was like one beat of silence before her partner, big burly guy, just went, that'd be me. I'm not wild in the bedroom. I'm very vanilla. You know the level of like people that have sex through the hole in the sheet? You know, like the insecure ghost. A lot of you are looking at me like, fucking no, mate. We don't know that shit. I'm not that. I'm like the step up. I'm one rung above that, you know? And it was becoming an issue with one of my exes. I was trying to say to her, I just want to experience, like you know, life, like everything is life has to offer. And she said, what is actually the problem here? And I said, I just don't want to get to the end of my life. I don't want to be standing around with my mates and one of them to just go, hey, just before we cark it, let's just go around and one by one, let's just say the wildest thing we've done in the bedroom. And someone goes, oh, I've had orgies and all this. And someone else goes, oh, you know, whips, chains, candle wax, all that stuff. And it gets to me and I'm like, I've done doggy twice. And one of my mates is like, that monkey fucker fucked a dog. And she said, well, that's okay. We can try some stuff. I said, that'd be great. And she said, what about I blindfold you? And I said, yes, please, thanks. which was a sure sign that I was a bit nervous. And she blindfolded me, ladies and gentlemen, and not a word of a lie. After a minute, I had to take the blindfold off because I was getting motion sick from the bed.
Nothing makes a woman wetter than the sentence, "Hang on, babe, I've just got to pop a travel calm before I munt."
He shudders like he's ill, then paces the stage.
But I couldn't let it go, right? Week after week, we go out, and at some point, you're like, "Oh, God, I'm so vanilla, I never try anything." And she was so lovely, she was so accepting, and she was so polite about all of it, until one night, and fair enough, she snapped. We'd been out drinking, and we got home, and I said, "Oh, God, I never try anything." And she just cracked, and she goes, "Oh, yeah? Well, then fucking try something." I said, "Sorry?" And she said, "You always talk about trying something, and then you never try anything. So go on, do something. What do you want me to do to you?" And I panicked. And I said, "Piss on me."
He blinks with a blank expression.
And she said, "What?" And what I should have said was, "Babe, I'm so sorry. I panicked. I'm not good with confrontation. I just said the first thing that came to my head, but instead, I didn't want to back down from the situation. And so I went, you heard me."
George roars with laughter.
And she said, "Okay, where?" And I was like, "Not the bed. Obviously not the bed. I don't still have that sheet from grade three. Not the bed. I know. We'll go in the bathroom. I can lie down in the bath, but we can't turn the water on. That's cheating." And she said, "Why is that cheating?" And I said, "Because everyone has peed on their partner in the shower." And she said, "Have they?" And I said, "No." And so then I went and I lay down in the bath, right? I lay down in the bath and she stood over me and she looked down at me and she said, "Where?" I said, "What do you mean, babe? We've already had this chat. That's why we're not in the bed. That's why we're in the bath." And she said, no, chest or mouth?" I know. And she said it with enough aggression that I was like, "Shit, you've done this before." I didn't know it was an option. Chest, please. I want it to be like an entry-level fetish thing. Chest, please, thank you. And then she commenced, ladies and gentlemen. And I cannot stress enough how much I thought it was going to be delicate lady wee.
He flaps his hand under his groin as he prances. He stops.
You hear that? That's the women laughing. That's the women being like, "Oh, really, fuckhead? You thought we piss different? We can piss like mooses if we want to. If I get going, I need four firemen to hold me down." But I honestly, I didn't know. I honestly thought it was going to be delicate lady wee. I thought I'd be like, "Oh, what's that, babe? Is it over? I didn't even know." And instead, what shot towards my chest was a thick stream of fucking battery acid. As it hit me, it went to burn a hole through my sternum. And we'd been out all night drinking as well, so she was dehydrated. There was a certain mist that came with the product. And because of the sheer volume of liquid involved, even though I specified chest was also mouth. And I wasn't into it instantly, right? And I tried to say, "Stop." I tried to say, "Stop." But I don't know if you've ever tried to say, "Stop," whilst also... And so it came out like this. She thought I was groaning. And she went, "Yeah, you like that, don't you?" And started pissing harder. I was 1 second away from yelling, "I'm a celebrity, get me out of here!"
He backs away and wipes his eye. He grabs his beer from a stool and holds it at his side for a moment as he chuckles. He lifts it to his mouth, still laughing.
Thank you, please. Thank you.
He takes a sip.
I don't want to. If that's your thing, I don't want to. You do your thing. If
you're consenting adults, you do whatever you want to do. That's great. It was just a real... It was a lot, you know. It was a lot. Like, I think now, like, I think if I got out of the beach, if I got out of the water and I, like a box jellyfish had stung me across the chest and my partner was there, I think I'd be like, oh, can you try shitting on it first? See if that...
He rubs his head and wanders back to the front of the stage.
Our accent doesn't help us in the bedroom. You know what I mean? The French, oof, they get away with anything. Piss on me. Empty your bladder and fill my heart. Wee, wee, wee. And we're just like, I don't know, babe, if you gotta go, fucking have a... Is there any sexy accents in? Has anyone got a very sexy accent? Did you all have a meeting before the show? Whatever he asks you, everybody, shut the fuck up. Hey, I think it would be only fair if I was put on a comedy show like this to share with you the best joke that I've ever heard. It's not my joke. It's my cousin Stephanie's joke, right? And setting is very important into why this joke is funny. Christmas lunch. We always go to my mum and dad's house. Now, the age range at Christmas is big. My nieces and nephews, 4, 6. My grandma, she's in her 90s. We always sit around a big trestle table outside and we sit there and we crack our bonbons, we put our stupid hats on, and one by one we stand up and we read our jokes from our bonbons. The problem was, Steph, my cousin, she was blind. Like, way too white girl wasted for 1 p.m. on Christmas Day with your family. You know, the jokes, they're always cheesy. They're always things like, what do you call Father Christmas on the beach? Sandy Claus. Yeah. Oh, that got a couple of people. You're like, yes, this is what we fucking came for. A little less of that pissed on stuff, mate. A few more Christmas puns, thank you. So we go around and we're doing that, and then it was Steph's turn to stand up. She was next to me and she kind of swayed a bit and she stood up, and I knew she was in trouble because I looked over and I could see that her joke, her piece of paper, was upside down. And I thought to myself, oh, well, I'll just sit back and watch. And she went like this. Everyone was dead silent, but she went, hum, hum, hum. Right? Everyone now had zeroed in focus completely on Stephanie. Right? And she started the first half of a joke. What do you call a woman with no legs? Everyone instantly starts trying to guess the answer. People were like, oh, is it Eileen? No, wait, that doesn't make sense, right? But at this stage, my nephew jumps up and he kicks the ground. He goes, oh, God, I'm bored, right? A few more answers get guessed before my auntie, Stephanie's mum, she stands up and she goes, Stephanie, we don't know. Stephanie, what do you call a woman with no legs? She sits down. Steph remains standing. And she goes, hum. A dirty cunt.
Tommy mimes sitting and returning a slip of paper to a table. He folds his arms and stares calmly ahead.
My Christmas table erupted. Oh my God. Half the people laughing so hard. Half the people mortified. My little nephew's like, whoa, what's a cunt? Stephanie's mum, my auntie, she's livid. She stands up and she screams across the table. She goes, Stephanie, that joke was not on the bonbon. And Steph was so cool, calm and collected. She just goes, I'm really sorry, mum, but it was. And she goes, Stephanie, that joke was so, that was not on the bonbon. And she goes, mum, I agree, it's offensive. Who got the bonbons? And she goes, Stephanie, give me the piece of paper. Stephanie, give me the piece of paper now. And Steph just goes, no, and eats it. This is how calm she remained. While absolute chaos is going off around her, she eats it, finishes it, and then says this. She goes, well, I guess we'll never know.
An audience member covers his mouth as he laughs.
So when we came out of lockdown, one of the first calls that I got was from my mate Panna. And he called me and he goes, hey man, have you ever thought about skydiving? And I said, absolutely. It's on my bucket list. I'd love to. I want to experience everything in this life. And he goes, great, 3 p.m. this afternoon, we're doing it. And I was like, oh no, man, I would love to, like, in the future. like, not now. And he was so funny, he just goes, 3 p.m. is the future, dickhead, and hangs up. So I went out and I met him at the airport where we met our two skydiving instructors. Now, I use the term instructors very loosely. We met the men we were going to be strapped to fall out of a plane. My guy's name was Stan, big Kiwi fella. Panna's guy's name, Igor, little Eastern European nugget of a thing. And then we got in the plane. The first thing I noticed was that there was no seats in the plane. So I wasn't yet strapped to Stan, but instead I just sat like in his lap. So I sat like this.
He crouches.
And then Stan just kind of spooned me behind. And then I looked down and I realised, I went to grab a seatbelt and I realised there were no seatbelts. And I honestly thought this was a breach of safety protocol. And I thought, I better let Stan know that there's no seatbelts because we're going to have to change planes, right? And so I'm like, Bruzzy, yo, there's no seatbelts. And he just goes, no seatbelts? Why the fuck would we need seatbelts for? We're jumping out of the plane anyway. Fuck, you're funny, huh? And I did not have the heart to tell Stan that I was not attempting to be humorous. Then we started to take off. And as we started to take off, the door to the plane remained open. Bitumen whipping by. I was shitting myself and I started to panic. And I went, Daddy, Stan. The door is open. And he goes, the door's open. We're falling out of that door anyway. Fuck, you're funny. Once again, I did not have the heart to tell Stan that I was not attempting to be humorous. We got up in the air and they reminded us of the jumping procedure. Once we got to our jumping altitude, the light above the door would go from red to green. Panna and Igor, they were going to jump first. And then it was going to be me and Stan. They were going to get to the edge of the plane. You hang your legs out the plane. You put your head back. And then they yell, 3, 2, 1. You fall face first out of the plane. And it was at that point that I said to Stan, I said, Stan, can we yell something cool together at that point? And he said, what do you want to yell? And I said, what about Geronimo? And he goes, like from the movies? I said, like from the movies, bros. And he goes, fuck yeah. Fuck, you're funny. And I was stoked because that was the first time I'd attempted to be humorous. As we got closer to the jumping altitude, Stan pulled the straps tight and I was now connected to him and sucked like right into his crutch. Right? And it was instantly relaxing. I was just like, oh, Daddy's got me. Red light goes to green. It is time to jump. Panna and Igor, they're up first. I look over. Panna is so scared that he's non-responsive. He's just gone limp in the corner of the place. He's like, oh, this. And it was at that point that I realised there must have been a mistake because the size discrepancy was ridiculous. Here is the respective heights of the people involved. Stan, he's the biggest one, right? Then Panna's bigger than me. And then there's me. And then Igor is smaller than all of us. And the reason I realised this must have been a problem is because when I looked over, I could see Panna, but I couldn't see Igor. At one stage, a little Eastern European hand just came out and just started hitting him. And he goes, no. But then it was incredible. Like an ant picking up a breadcrumb, he just went, oh, yeah!
He leans back like he's hoisting someone in front of him.
He gets him over to the edge of the plane. Panna's feet are hanging out. Now, you're meant to put your head back. That's what you do, head back. Panna was so scared, he nestled in. But Igor was so sweet, I just saw him stroke his hair twice. And then I just heard this very faint, 3, 2, 1. And I had the most incredible feeling. As I now looked at that empty doorway in the plane, this feeling just took over my whole body and I was just like, well, they're dead. This is messed up. I just watched my best mate die. I didn't have too much time to think, though, because Stan just went, our turn, cuzzy, and just picked me up. He was so big that my feet weren't touching the ground. I was just like in a giant baby Bjorn.
He jostles his limbs.
I get to the edge of the plane, my feet are hanging out like this. I put my head back and I just hear this, 3, 2, 1, Geronimo!
I was so scared I forgot all about that shit. I tried to join in right at the end. I was like,
Then we're free falling. Now, they told us when we're free falling, to prevent yourself spinning, put your hands back, put your legs back. That's what they said. To prevent spinning, put your hands back, put your legs back. Right? I'm not doing that because I'm scared. I'm holding the straps of my parachute and I'm crossing my legs to protect my dick from the wind. I've seen those skydiving videos of people with their mouths open. Like, I don't want that to happen to my foreskin. Because a lot of you laugh, but a lot of the women are like, he's got a foreskin.
A couple of women clap in the audience.
But we start spinning and Stan starts yelling at me. And he's like, get your hands back, get your legs back. And I'm like, they're back, Buzzy, they're back. This is as far as back. And he goes, get them back further. I'm like, this is as far back as they can go. This is far back. And then Stan did the most amazing move I've ever seen. He put his hands inside my hands. He put his legs inside my legs. And he just fucking opened me up.
Tommy widens his stance and spreads his arms, tilting his head back.
All I could mutter was, this is what I came out with. I went, oh, nice one, Daddy.
Then Stan pulled the chute and everything went silent. Right? It was at that stage, Stan said to me in my ear, as clear as day, he just goes, you're no good at skydiving. And I said, Stan, you can't be bad at skydiving, bro. It's just falling out of a plane. You can't be bad at falling. He goes, no, you're the worst I've ever seen. And I was hurt, right, because I didn't want to be the worst skydiver that Stan's ever seen. So I'm focusing on nailing the second half of the jump. The second half of the jump is, of course, the landing, right? And what they told us is when we come into land, put your legs up. Get them out of harm's way. Put your legs up. They did also say, if you're confident enough, you kind of step on the ground like an adult. I'm not concentrating on that bit because I'm just concentrating on getting my legs up, right? Get my legs up. And so we come into land, and poor Stan saw the ground and stood on it like an adult. But when he did that, I'm attached to him, and I'm holding my legs up with my hands because I want to get them up as high as they can go. And because we're attached, I take him with me. We tumble, we roll on top of each other, one heaving, sweaty mass on top of another. We finally come to a rest and I can hear Stan's breath in my ear. This is honestly what I thought he was going to say. I thought he was going to say, hey, a little rough there at the start, but we got through it at the end. You showed some real strength and courage out there. I can't wait to do this again together. This is what Stan said to me. Why the fuck would some argue want to go skydiving? I was a bit taken aback. I said, Stan, because I just want to give stuff a go, Stan. This life is about living and I want to give everything a go. He goes, maybe you should give less a go. More is not always better. I said, Stan, that's exactly what I think about tacos.
George and other audience members applaud as they chuckle. Vicky and her group laugh along. Tommy moves the mic stand to the front of the stage.
I realize I told you the start of that story, but I did not tell you the end of that story. I was at the panel discussion, and they asked me if I could change one thing in this world. What would it be? I told you guys this. 10% less toppings on tacos. You know how that goes. And then they asked the lady next to me, they said, if you could change one thing in this world, what would it be? And she said, to achieve world peace. And I looked at her and I said, fuck off. But I didn't say fuck off. I thought it. But I can tell the host must have had a similar sentiment because he said, I'm sorry, that's a very simple answer to what is a very complex problem. Can you elaborate? What would be the first step you would take to achieving world peace? And she said, no worries, that's a great question. The first step to achieving world peace, I think, would be to firstly alleviate global hunger. And he said, how do you plan on doing that? And that's when I interrupted and I said, that's where the 10% tacos was going to go. And then the rest of the discussion went like that, right? It wasn't good for me. Not at all. But I can tell that the host maybe at least took a bit of a shining to me. Because we got to the end and he goes, ladies and gentlemen, we've had a great day here today. I think it'd be great to finish it on a piece of advice from each one of the panelists. He then looks at me and goes, Tommy, we'll start at the other end. I said, thank you. And they got up and they started to talk, and I was trying to think, what advice would I share with a crowd? Something about living life to the fullest and experience things to realise you don't like them, to not just be naive. And before I can think any more, it's my turn to speak. I haven't heard a word that's been said. And the host goes, Tommy, I think you agree, two great pieces of advice. I said, yep, fantastic. He goes, but I think it would be unfair to ask you the same question. I said, sorry? And he said, I understand this is your first serious panel discussion. We've spoken to things like this a lot, and it's a pretty standard way to finish with a piece of advice. But putting you on the spot like that, it's unfair to you. We've had a great day here today. We've learned some stuff. We've heard some great pieces of advice. Tommy, laughter is what you do best. Comedy is your wheelhouse. How about we finish on a laugh? Do you have a joke that you can share with the group? And I said, absolutely. And I stood up and I said, what do you call a woman with no legs?
The lights shut off and the stage goes dark.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much.
The lights turn back on.
Thank you so much for coming out. It's lovely to see you. Take care. We'll see you soon. Cheers.
Tommy waves to the audience and walks off as lights strobe and sparklers shoot up from the stage. Credits appear over black. Written and performed by Tommy Little. Executive producer Kevin White, Kathleen McCarthy, producer Nikita Exarian, live show producer Rowan Smith, director Catherine Vanderwolf, editor Asha Cavell, post-production supervisor Georgina Ogilvy. More credits roll. Tommy Little, I'll See Myself Out, copyright 2021 Guesswork Television, all rights reserved. A logo, Guesswork Television, excellence through guesswork.